In the world today, millions of people have never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never encountered the life-changing power of the Bible. They've never walked into a church. Some have never even met a Christian. Though the work has been underway for more than 2,000 years, there are still individuals, villages, and even whole language groups that have never received the good news, and they've never experienced the blessings that it brings to their communities, their families, and their nations. They live and die without hope, without God, without peace. But now, in this generation, we have come to the end, when every human being on earth must hear of Jesus' name. People from every tribe and nation are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Our global work toward this goal is not finished. The great commission that Jesus gave his disciples, we are nearer to completing that mission today than at any time in history. He said that we must go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. You and I have the opportunity to join this vision and to be part of what God is doing in hearts across the world. In looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we must take seriously his command to share the good news with every person everywhere. We can be a part of the greatest movement of God's Spirit in history. And God is moving. He is changing lives. He is setting captives free. He is transforming families. He is renewing and reviving churches. New churches are being planted across the world today. He is sending forth his word to the very ends of the earth. The harvest, Jesus said, is plentiful. And the workers, well, he is raising new workers up every day to go forth. In America, in Asia, everywhere. All that remains now is for us to join what God is doing. To obey his call. To finish the great work. Millions are waiting. Welcome to Great Commission Radio with India Gospel League. I'm your host, Dan Jarvis. Well, Ellen Mabee joins us today in the studio. And Ellen, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, you work at India Gospel League's North American office in Hudson, Ohio. And you've been doing that for quite some time. And so I thought it'd be interesting for our listeners just to hear a little bit about your heartbeat for India, why you got involved with the ministry, and what job you do. So why don't we start with the first, what is it that got you initially involved with Sam Stevens and the India Gospel League?
Well, I first heard about the India Gospel League through my husband. He was invited to be a part of a medical mission trip, short-term trip to India through our church, and he came back from that trip just having a burden for the people of India. And from that, he decided to sponsor a child through India Gospel League. Soon after, the tsunami hit, and there was a lot of need to help sponsor pastors who were in great need because of that. We decided to come alongside some pastors as well. So it first started with my husband's heart, and I just kind of came along with them. And a few years later, there was an opportunity for a job at India Gospel League that fit what I was looking for at the time.
That's great. And so specifically, what do you do for IGL today?
Well, today I help with the finances, and I also do some administrative work as well.
Okay. So now, is that your background? Were you trained in finance? Or
I was. I have an accounting degree. So I wasn't originally hired to do that. I was hired to be an administrative assistant. But as things changed within the office, there was a need for someone to help with the finances. At first, it was temporary. But then because I did have that background in accounting, it seemed like a good fit to just move me into that role. And then it became permanent a year later. So I've been doing it ever since.
That's great. You know, it's kind of encouraging because I know a lot of people who, you know, maybe they have a degree in some profession and they wish that they could be involved in ministry. They wish they could go into missions, but they didn't go to Bible college or they're not a pastor, so they're not sure what to do. There really are opportunities to serve. And so with an accounting degree, you're able to do some great work for the people in India.
Well, and I absolutely take the work that I do very seriously because even though we're not in the field working, doing the evangelism that the pastors are doing, or helping to raise these children that people within our homes are doing. I know that money is, you know, we're about fundraising and getting money to do the work over there. And if people here in the United States don't have the trust in the North American office that the funds are being utilized and there's integrity in how they're being designated and recorded and sent off to India, then the funds will stop coming. So I take very seriously how that job is done, because I know that it's important. Even though I'm 8,000 miles away from the work that's being done, I don't want anyone to not give to India Gospel League because there's something about our North American office that they don't trust.
So if someone did have questions, and we don't have to get into all of this in detail today, but if someone had specific financial questions about how the ministry operates or how it's kept accountable, what would you recommend that they do? Should they call you?
Well, absolutely. They could call me. That's what that's part of my job. That's why I'm here, and I can answer any questions that they have. But they also could visit our website, and on there, there's shows that we are a member of the ECFA, which is the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and it gives a little bit of a summary of what that means, because everyone might not understand all the different principles and standards that we are held to because of that membership and the audits that get done each year. And after visiting there, if they still had more questions, of course, they could always call me as well.
And the number to call you would be at the Hudson office, and that's 330-650-5900.
We do have a toll-free number as well, and that is 888-352-4451.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about India. That's obviously the name of the game. That's what we're interested in. And ultimately, we want to see the gospel of Jesus go out to the whole world.
Absolutely.
But our calling in India Gospel League is specifically to focus on Southeast Asia, particularly India and a few nations that surround it. I just thought it would be interesting to hear from your perspective as one who works in the office here, but also has been in India yourself, or at least your husband. Have you been to India as well?
I have. I had the opportunity to go to India in the fall of 2008, which was amazing.
Yeah. And so what were some of your impressions of the country and being able to see the work that on this side of the equation, you're just involved in the numbers of it?
Right. Well, and at the time, I had my main responsibilities prior to going to India were more of the administrative assistant responsibilities. So I had the great privilege of seeing all the quarterly reports that came in from all of the barefoot pastors and having a chance to read them prior to mailing them out to the donors. And so I read and heard these phenomenal stories about all that God was doing and using these pastors who had, you know, very little money and very little training, and yet God was raising them up, and IGL was getting them the training they needed to do what they needed to do and getting them the supplies they needed to do the work God called them to do. And it was very encouraging for my own faith. And so when I went, one of the main reasons I went is because when people would call and ask about the work we were doing, I was repeating things people had told me. And I wanted to be able to tell them firsthand what I experienced when I went to India. And I think that's really important for everyone who works for us to get a chance to do. So I was invited to be part of a women's teaching team from our church and was able to go and meet with women and pray with women and to teach portions of the Bible to them. Just like my husband fell in love with the people of India, I fell in love with these women as well, and their heart and their willingness to do whatever it takes to share the gospel with their neighbors.
So what parts of India did you visit?
We were in Maharashtra, a state in sort of in the south middle part of India. I was in the headquarters in Salem, Tamil Nadu for a little bit. And then we ended up flying out of Mumbai is where we ended up flying out of. But I did a fair amount of in-country travel within the state of Maharashtra.
The religious needs there, just the spiritual, well, obviously we would say the spiritual darkness of idolatry. I know when I went that it struck me because I'd seen it in pictures, I had read about it in books, obviously see it in the Old Testament when Israel would worship idols. But to actually see temples built to idols and people paying homage to idols, how did that impact you to just see the whole system there of Hinduism and the caste system in India.
Well, I think you're right. I think when you first get off and the plane and you're in rural India especially, and you see the abject poverty there, material poverty, that's the first thing that strikes you. But then you look beyond that, and you, like you said, you see the temples, and you see that the spiritual poverty and the darkness is just as great, if not more, than the material poverty that you see. And it's heartbreaking, because you know that while we here have the opportunity on any given day to go to a church, open a Bible, read the Bible, and have God speak to us through his word, that many of them have never heard the name of Jesus. They don't have the opportunity to accept or reject him. They don't even know who he is. They continue to go to these temples and hope for peace, and hope to have their prayers answered, and hope to get some response to things that are going on in their lives. And for, as a Christian, looking at that, you know they're not going to get any answers. It's heartbreaking, and that's why you come back with such a burden to help be a part of the answer.
And one of the core outreaches or projects of India Gospel League is to provide funding for pastors on the ground there who are already part of the culture. They already know the language. They've simply given their lives to Christ, and they've said, I'm willing to go and start a church in another village. Some of our IGL pastors start multiple churches at one time in different villages. I know that's an area of the ministry that's close to your heart as well. How many pastors at any given time do have that sponsor funding?
On average, there's about 100 to 125 at a time that have sponsorship. But of course, there's many, many more that are out doing the work without any sponsorship.
And so really, if people wanted to participate, and one thing that's kind of overwhelming about India Gospel League when you first come into the community is you realize there are so many opportunities, and you open up the catalog on our website and see, you know, scores of different ways to get involved and different projects to contribute toward. But really, the root need is spiritual before anything else, and it's these pastors who are going village to village evangelizing and then starting churches that really fill that need. And there are more of them who would be potentially willing to give their full time to the gospel. It's just a matter of them finding a partner, someone over here who perhaps would be willing to say, yes, I'll sponsor you. I'll give you the $100 a month that it takes to make your ministry possible. At any given time, would you say that IGL has people waiting? I mean, that if someone called our office today and said, yes, I'll sponsor a pastor, that we would have a profile to send right out to them?
Absolutely. We have an ongoing priority list of pastors. And someone calls, someone sends us a check, or they make a donation online, and we immediately go to that next pastor on our list, and we assign that pastor, and then we move down the list. And the list is hundreds long. It's not five long or ten long. It's hundreds long.
So all those men who are in waiting, or I probably should say the couples who are in waiting, what are they doing currently? I mean, are they going ahead with the ministry and then just trying to support themselves, or are they really just waiting for someone to send them?
No, they're not waiting. They're being obedient to God's call with or without the funding. So they're, in order to support themselves and the work that they want to do, they're having to work another job in addition to, you know, trying to raise up a church. But of course, that takes time away from what they can be doing to share the gospel, because it's a process. They're having to travel by foot a lot. You know, they don't have the convenience of cars like we do to get from one spot to another and to share. So it's, instead of taking 2 years for a sponsored pastor, it may take them 5, 6, 10 years to have the same results, because they're having to work another job in order to support their family during that time.
When we put out this call, I know for me, I mean, one of my first exposures to India Gospel League led me to want to sponsor pastors. Because it just seems like if you're trying to complete the Great Commission and you're looking across the world at groups of people that are largely unreached with the message, where do we begin? And then you see the crushing material needs that they have, you know, orphans and the need for medical care and even just the need for job training? And how do you even begin in a culture, or how do you even begin to meet those that scale of need? And then you realize that if God raises up a church in a village and there's a pastor willing to lead that church, that through that small community, a lot of those humanitarian helps or blessings can come. And it makes a lot of sense, rather than just coming in and maybe helping out materially and then leaving. If you go in and you really partner with a church on the ground in India, and through that church provide help to a village, you're really helping in a more long-term, sustainable way. And you're also then able to really give in the name of Jesus, and people recognize that the blessings they're receiving are really from him and from his people, rather than just here's a handout. And so one thing I appreciate personally about IGL is that Sam Stevens says that we lead with the gospel, and after that flows all sorts of other help and blessing to a given area of India.
Absolutely. I would wholeheartedly agree. That is the heartbeat and vision of India Gospel League. And what we want the villagers to see is that, you know, out of that church, out of that building that then was later built to help with church services, but now has become a place where children get after school care, or they get tutoring, and there's literacy training, and there's medical camps being held, that there's a clean water well that was drilled right outside the church, that this clean water, this fresh, safe water to drink, is given in the name of Jesus. The literacy training is given in the name of Jesus. They see that all good things come out of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, Ellen, as you work all the numbers over at IGL and kind of handle the accounting, I thought it might be interesting for our listeners just to hear some of the specifics of how we're doing as a ministry and what the scope of this ministry is. And so I'll ask you a couple of questions about that. But first is, what's our average annual budget?
The average annual budget is about $3 million.
Okay. And the lion's share of that, of course, is getting spent on the projects on the ground in India. However, I know that just knowing Sam Stevens personally and knowing the scale of need in India, the target is always to grow. And so just this year, what would really be, if we were trying to meet all the needs in front of us, what would we need that annual budget to look like?
We would need that annual budget to be around $10 million to meet all of the needs that we have in front of us in India right now. And that may seem like a huge jump between $3 million and $10 million, but that just shows how great the need is out there. I do want to let people know, too, that of that $3 million, 85% of that does go out into the field to the programs being done in India. And there's just that 15%, 15 cents of every dollar that goes and stays here in North America to run administrative the office. So,
well, and then as an addition to that, what would you say specifically would be the most pressing needs that just you notice, areas of the ministry that are underfunded or projects that really need a little boost that people could pray about?
Well, there's a lot of doors opening up in northern India, and there's pastors there that God has raised up recently that need sponsorship, and not only for their church, but even an entire region of needing sponsorship. So prayer for that need in northern India is a great place to start.
And one thing I encourage people to do that I'm talking to, just if you are curious about all of this and you would like to start, obviously the website is a great place to go, but you can also call and just ask for an intro pack. And our team will send you some materials, some brochures and things about the goals of India Gospel League. And that really all does help to put a handle on what it is. And then you can look at those things and pray and say, God, where do you want me to participate in this? Because there are so many different avenues through which you can have a hand, a little part in God's work in India, that I do think it requires prayer. So we do want to meet those urgent needs, but also we want to ask God, Lord, with the resources I have in front of me, how do you want me to participate? I think God would be excited if a lot of people asked him that question. Sometimes I think maybe we forget to remember that at the end of the day, we're all serving at God's pleasure, and everything we have really belongs to him. And so it makes sense for us to ask him how he wants us to use his resources.
Absolutely. And I also think it's important for us to ask for the seemingly impossible, because we know in our human effort, there's no way we could raise another $7 million to get from 3 to 10. But we know that with God, everything is possible, and he can provide the funding that is needed.
Ellen, one thing I know that a lot of people are curious about when they give to foreign mission groups, especially ones that are based overseas, is how does my donation reach the people who need it? How does it get all the way from my check landing in the Hudson, Ohio office to some remote village in India where they need a life center or there's a child who needs sponsorship?
That is a great question. When someone sends us a donation, whether it's by credit card or check, we process it here in the North American office, and we'll send a charitable contribution receipt, and then that money is put into a fund to wherever they designated that money to go. So if they designated it towards a life center, it would go in a fund specifically for the use in building life centers. And then weekly send information to our office in India, letting them know what money we've received that week and what the fund balances are in each of those funds. As they have needs and they have enough funding to be able to provide for those needs, then they make a request for a wire transfer from our bank account to their bank account. And just like we have the standards that we have to comply with for general accepted auditing standards and generally accepted accounting principles, and the IRS is really stringent in how we have to comply with certain things. Their standards are even, believe it or not, greater in India than they are in the United States. And they have a governing board that they have to answer to for how their funds are used, to make sure they're used exactly how they said they're used. So that money goes to a fund in India for building a life center. And then it's withdrawn for just that, to pay the workers, the Indian workers who are building that life center for that particular pastor.
Well, as we conclude today's broadcast, Ellen, thank you so much for coming and sharing some time with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I wondered if you could conclude our time together with a prayer for all those who we're talking about in India. We tend to think in terms of numbers or regions or states or cities, but these are all people just like you and me who have dreams, who have hopes, who have sorrow, and most of whom in India have not heard the gospel, and they desperately need to. So let's pray for them.
I'd love to. Father God, I pray for our brothers and sisters in India, those who are working diligently to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make your name known to those who may have never heard your name before. And I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that they will speak with clarity and with passion, and that those who are hearing, their eyes would be opened, their hearts would be opened to knowing the one true God, and much fruit would become of that work that they are doing. I pray that if times of persecution come, because we know that comes when we are doing your will, Lord, I pray that you will keep them strong and give them perseverance to continue the work, and that you will bring others alongside them to encourage them as they do their work. Pray that you will lift up supporters here in the United States who may be hearing this message for the first time, that their hearts will be drawn to what you're doing, and that they will say, I want to be a part of what God is doing in India. I want to be a part of reaching the lost for your name and for your sake and furthering your kingdom. And we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share, and pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
So if you have a question, you can go to iglworld.org and simply click on radio. And as you enter that page, then you'll see a list of previous broadcasts that you can download onto your media device to listen to. And you'll also have there access to our contact information through which you can ask questions that we can answer on future Great Commission Radio broadcasts. So I would encourage you to go to iglworld.org or simply to call our office and ask for a free information pack. And that number is 330-650-5900. This program has been furnished by the India Gospel League of Salem, India and Hudson, Ohio. Go to iglworld.org.